Hey everybody, it's Pastor Brian Ross from Grace Life Bible Church in Grand Rapids, Michigan. I want to welcome you once again to this midweek video. It's been a couple weeks since I've been able to make a video. I've had a lot going on, and schedules and demands and responsibilities have not really afforded me much time to make a video. And plus, I've been working on a project of videos that has taken me more time to kind of prepare for than what it might normally take me. And so I've kind of been taking my time, but I want to get this video made. I've tried a couple different times to make this video. It's a little bit of a technical one, and so I'm going to do my best to give you the information here that I want to cover in a good spirit. But what I want to talk about is I want to address some misgivings I have regarding numerology and King James Bible defense. I want to say at the beginning that I make a distinction between Bible numerics. The Bible obviously uses certain numbers that take on significance because of how they're used in the biblical text. Number 7, number 12, for example. Okay, but when I'm talking about numerology, I'm not talking about what I would consider to be the normal use of numbers in the Bible, where the Bible is telling you explicitly that certain numbers are significant for a variety of different reasons. What I'm talking about is the numerology, where we're going to defend the King James Bible based upon sequences of numbers, gematria, ciphers, ELS codes, all these counting and using Bible software to count things, etc. I'm very concerned about this. I think it's becoming a problem in pro-King James defense. And I'm going to go on the record in this video kind of, and this one and a couple more after this, kind of talking about what I perceive to be some of the issues with this, okay? Now, some of you that have followed the channel, you know that my friend and colleague, Nate Quing, and I have addressed some of these concerns already in our series called King James Bible Gnosticism. You can see here that the second installment, we talked about issues related to math and numerology. And when we went through this information about King James Bible Gnosticism, we did so with the purview of really what Gary Roverino, author of a couple different books, Concealed from Christians and Called of God to Translate the King James Bible, has had to say, as well as some of his videos on his Above God's Name channel. And so I've already addressed some of my thoughts about numerology. Also here in this video, Pie in the Sky, an example of numerology in KJV defense. So what I'm going to be talking about in this video, I've sort of talked about in other formats, in other videos, okay? But there's two people right now that are primarily doing numerology. And I say primarily because this number is growing, it seems to me, all the time. Just, and I'm judging that based upon YouTube channels, videos that I've seen where this continues to pick up steam and people are learning and picking up on the methodologies of primarily two people, and then they are duplicating them and making their own videos and coming to a lot of their own conclusions, okay? One of these is Brandon Peterson at Truth is Christ YouTube channel, okay? Now, let me just say a couple things. I like Brandon. I have corresponded with Brandon. I have told Brandon that I was going to be making this video. We've had conversation about Easter in Acts 12:4. I don't have anything personally against Brandon. I think Brandon seems to be a very nice guy, very sincere. I have no issues with any of that. My issues are with some of the argumentation and where all this is going and how it's already impacting. And he's also written this book, Sealed by the King. I bought this book and now have read it in preparation for talking about this topic. The other person that is primarily responsible for advocating for this type of numerology is Gary Roverino with Above God's Name channel. Again, Gary has authored Concealed from Christians, From the Glory of God from 2019. And just last year, 2024, Called of God to Translate the King James Bible. I've already addressed a lot of the content of those two books again back here in the series King James Gnosticism. Now, one of the things that I've seen is that there are significant differences, in my opinion, between Gary and Peterson, between Roverino and Peterson, as far as the way they go about things. All right. For example, Gary has said that he's sent from God because his initials are in the Epistle Dedicatory to the King James Bible. Again, I've covered that in other videos. If you want to check that out, check out the series on King James Gnosticism. Brandon, I've not heard him say stuff like that. Okay, and so I do acknowledge in my mind, through my assessment and observation, that there are some significant differences between some of the approaches and the way these two gentlemen are going about conducting their ministries, if you will. Okay, but they are both using, in many ways, some of the same methodology. I've not heard Brandon Peterson talk about ciphers. I've not heard him talk about a lot of the things that Gary talks about. And the other key difference between Gary and Brandon, and this is significant, is that Gary accepts the Apocrypha, the 14 books of the Apocrypha, as inspired scripture. Brandon does not. Okay? But that leads me to a point that I want to make about this. Okay? What is happening in pro-King James argumentation is that Brandon Peterson's brand of that, if you will, is being promoted, accepted, and advocated across a wide swath of people who defend the King James Bible, whereas Gary Roverino's is being castigated, warned against, rebuked because of his advocacy for the Apocrypha. Let me just give you one example of this. This is Roy Bell and his YouTube channel, Old School Bible Baptist. If you scroll down through the videos here, it's not long before you encounter videos. See this video right here on the right that have Brandon's book as part of the splash screen artwork, and he's advocating for Brandon's work. If you continue scrolling, I've watched basically all of these videos, then you'll encounter this video over here on the left where it says Mark and Avoid the Apocrypha. You see the moniker there of the Above God's Name channel. There's Gary Roverino teaching, okay? So Roy Bell with Old School Bible Baptist Ministries, he is a KJV defender, and he is advocating and promoting Brandon Peterson, but he is warning against the teaching of Gary Roverino. Now, I've also warned against the teaching of Gary Roverino, but Roverino teaches that the Apocrypha is inspired and Peterson does not, okay? They both are utilizing numerology to make their arguments, but Bell is okay with Peterson's book and his arguments because Brandon doesn't argue for the Apocrypha, and again, I believe rightly so, whereas Gary does. It's my personal belief and contention that if Roverino did not argue and advocate for the inspiration of the Apocrypha, that Roy Bell would have no problem with the stuff that Gary Roverino is also saying, because they're in the same lane, okay? So I acknowledge that there's some significant differences between Roverino and Peterson, but they're essentially in the same lane as far as how they go about defending the King James Bible using numerology. Now, one thing has garnered a lot of attention is this video right here. This was done by Brandon a couple years back, and it's the 611 mention of Lord and why it's a really big deal. So he also talks about that, okay, in his book. He also talks about this in his book. And again, this is sealed by the king. I also have downloaded the PDF copy of the book. And he mentions some stuff here about Lord in the book. So I thought I had the, okay, 67. So here is the page from the book where he is talking about similar things. This is note 8 on page 61, where he is also talking about this issue of the 611th mention of Lord, okay? So it says, Lord, 611, his name, 7 times 7. Do you rejoice in the place where God puts his name? What if I told you the 1611th mention of Lord in the King James Bible is located in Deuteronomy 16:11? So the So the 16:11 mention of the Lord's name is in Deuteronomy 16:11. So this is significant for Brandon's numerological arguments here, okay? Deuteronomy 16:11 also houses the 49th mention of the phrase his name. Lord is mentioned perfectly in this verse twice, the seventh word and the 49th word. So let's just unpack the arguments here, okay? So there's a few things, there's a few lines of argumentation going on here. Number one, the 16:11th mention of Lord is in Deuteronomy 16:11. So 16:11, you see the alleged significance here, okay? Not only that, when that in this verse, Lord is the seventh word, and it's also the 49th word. So 7 times 7 is 49, so 7 is significant, and so this is sort of a double proof that something significant is going on here. And then on top of that, this is the 49th mention of the phrase, his name. And so you can see that highlighted here, what I basically just said. So here's Lord, seventh word, Lord, 49th word, 49th mention of his name. Okay. So Lord, number one of two, is word number 7. Lord, number two of two, is the 47th, 7 times 7 of Deuteronomy 16:11. It's the 7 times 7 mention of his name, and it's the 16:11th mention of Lord. And notice he says here, not case sensitive in the KJV, word number 7 of Deuteronomy 16:11. Okay? So this is what he's basically arguing in this particular video, and then obviously also here in the book. And so this was critiqued by a pastor named Jonathan Burris. All right. Now, let me just say a couple things here about Jonathan Burris. Jonathan Burris is not a King James Version guy, King James Version only guy. He's not a King James advocate the way that I am or the way that Peterson is. Okay. So I get that. And I get, therefore, that a lot of people have issue with Burris on that account. Okay. Because they don't. They don't agree with him, and he sometimes comes across somewhat not very nice upon occasion. I'm not saying that's true all the time. I've reached out to him, asked him a couple questions, and he's been, you know, perfectly nice to me privately. But I get why some people who are watching some of his videos, you know, might not appreciate some of what he has to say. Okay, so I just want to be upfront about that. But this particular video right here, Numerology, King James Onlyism, and the Most Misused Bible Software, basically critiques what Peterson has to say about Deuteronomy 16:11 and this 116th mention and this video right here, okay, the 116th mention. And he critiques it, and he fact-checks it. And then he presents to the audience a challenge to take him up and track with his fact-checking, and to see if his sort of findings check out. And so that's essentially what I did, all right? I took him up on that challenge, and I wanted to see with my own eyes, doing my own searches, using the software materials that Brandon Peterson advocates for, you know, is there any validity to what Jonathan Burris had to say in this particular video, okay? Now, one of the things that he mentions is the use of this software right here. So when he talks about the misused Bible software, he's talking about the King James Pure Bible Search. And there's something that I want to point out about this software right out of the bat, and that is if you look at the source code information for the King James Pure Bible Search, notice what it says. Study and analyze the fingerprint of God in the mathematical structure known as the King James Code of the King James text of the Holy Bible. So this software, King James Pure Bible Search, is designed specifically to run numbers and to do numerology and look into the quote-unquote King James Code, okay? So this software is designed for the purpose of being able to run numbers, look at mathematical structures, and check things out. Okay, so what I want to do is I want to jump into the software, and I want to go through some stuff and track with what Burris said and look at, you know, whether or not things check out. Okay, so here we have, I've entered the word Lord, all right? I've already done this to start the video, And I've already highlighted Deuteronomy 16:11. All right. Now, if we look at Deuteronomy 16:11 data here, I don't know if I can make this bigger. Let me see here. I don't want to mess this up. So, not really. Okay. So, if you search the word Lord, notice that you'll find that it's the 16:11th and 16:12th occurrences of the word Lord, okay, out of 7,836 occurrences happening here in Deuteronomy 16:11, okay? So, the next thing, so that's a numerical fact. If you run the word Lord in this software, Pure King James Pure Bible Search, you will get a result that says that the 16:11th occurrence of the word Lord is occurring in Deuteronomy 16:11. All right. Now, I also want to talk about briefly here different forms of the word Lord. All right. So I'm going to go to Genesis. Let's see, where was I at? 15:2. Okay. I want to go to Genesis. And it'd be nice if I typed in the right reference. Okay, but notice here, okay? And Abram said, Lord God, okay? Now, notice Lord here has a capital L and lowercase O-R-D. When you see this occurrence or this style, we can turn on the tools here, and notice Lord, capital L, O-R-D, and we can look, and this is Adonai. Okay, so when you're reading a King James Bible and you see Lord with a capital L, lowercase O-R-D, you're looking at Adonai. Okay, so that's one word for Lord. Let's go to Genesis 2:4. Another occurrence is Lord in all caps in the King James Bible. Okay, now if we go here, this is Jehovah. When you see Lord in all caps, it's referring to Jehovah. So Lord, capital L, lowercase O-R-D, that's Adonai, uppercase Lord, L-O-R-D, that's Jehovah, okay? Now, Lord is also used to refer to a human or any human Lord. So let's look at that, Genesis 18:12. So, this is Sarah talking to Abraham. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have my pleasure, my Lord being old also. So, when Sarah says Lord here, she's referring to Abraham. So, there's three different forms of the word Lord. There's all lowercase, can refer to any human Lord, okay, including Abraham or anybody else in the context that's being referred to or discussed. There's all caps Lord, that's Jehovah, and then there's Lord, capital L-O-R-D, that's Adonai, okay? Now, we can also, I want to also run the search here, so let's go here and say his name, and run this search, and if we scroll down to Deuteronomy 16:11 in the Pure Bible search, we'll see that, sure enough, that is the 49th occurrence of the phrase his name of 49th of 165 occurrences of that particular phrase. So if we go back to, let's see, this information here, we can see that the searches that Brandon is talking about here definitely check out if we go to the software program, okay? But this is where things get a little bit more interesting, okay? So the first search that we did was just for the word Lord, and we did not have any of the other, we didn't have case sensitive, we didn't have any of this turned on, okay? So now what I want to do is I want to run the search for Lord, but this time we're going to search it in case sensitive, okay? So we're going to go all caps. We're going to turn on case sensitive, and we're going to run this. Go, and I'm going to turn back on the details. Okay, so notice now, though, that when we run this with a case sensitive search, right, notice that the results change. So the first occurrence of Lord here is no longer the 16:11th occurrence. It is now the 1,547th occurrence and the 1,548th occurrence. So the search is not case sensitive. So it's searching when we get a result of the 1611th occurrence of Lord in Deuteronomy 16:11. It's searching all forms of the word Lord. It's searching Lord Adonai, Lord Jehovah, and Lord Human Lord. It's searching all of those. It's not even specific to Jehovah or Adonai. So the search is not case sensitive, and it includes all forms of the word Lord. Because if you run this with a case sensitive check, as I just said, you don't get Lord as the 1611th occurrence. So it's not, my point is, the data is not even hitting upon occurrences of Lord God. It's hitting upon any occurrence of Lord. Okay, now let's run Lord lowercase. Okay, and we're also going to make that case sensitive. And we get different results again. So, in fact, if you go to Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 11, you're not even going to find that because we've turned on the case sensitive, and it's not even finding that. So the point here is that Deuteronomy 16:11, okay, is the 611th occurrence of Lord, is a combination of all three types of Lord. So it's not even specific to names of God, Jehovah or Adonai. It's occurring all different forms, okay? Now, let's go to Lord, and we're going to go all caps. Okay, we're going to go all caps, and we're going to go case sensitive, and we're going to run this, okay? And we're going to scroll back down to Deuteronomy 16:11. Whoops, went too far. We're going to scroll back to Deuteronomy 16:11, and we're going to check this now when we turn on the case sensitive stuff, because again, we're going to get different results because of the way this software works. So Deuteronomy 16:11, we're going to view the details. And notice, okay, now again, it's the 1,547th occurrence, okay? So it's not the same. It's the 1,547th occurrence and the 1,548th occurrence. If we say Lord Adonai, and we turn on case sensitive, and we run that search, okay, it's not in Deuteronomy 16:11. So, whoops, I already went too far. It's not in Deuteronomy 16:11 because, again, it's not, the search is not finding it. So here's Deuteronomy. Here's chapter 10, verse 17. It's not in Deuteronomy 16:11. So Lord Adonai is not in, it's not being pulled in the search. Okay? If we run Lord case sensitive, we're going to add, we're going to run Lord case sensitive and Lord. Let's see, how do I run another? Oh, add a phrase. There we go. Okay. And we're going to add Lord case sensitive here. Okay. So what we're running here is we're running Adonai and we're running Jehovah. So we're running Adonai and we're running Jehovah. And we're going to scroll back down to Deuteronomy 16:11. Turn on the tools or the details. And here we see that it's the 1,568th and the 1,569th. Okay. So when you exclude Lord, human Lord, the numbers don't work. The data and the numbers don't work. Okay. So the origin of the 1611, the idea of the 1611th occurrence of Lord is essentially meaningless. Because it's including occurrences of Lord that don't have anything to do with God, God Almighty. Okay? So what is this proving? Is sort of my main sort of observation. I look at this and I say, well, that's interesting, but when you take away the things that aren't pertinent to actually his name, because that's the next thing, right? His name, if we run his name, so I'm going to get rid of this, and we're going to go to his name. And we're going to say case sensitive here, and we're going to go back to Deuteronomy 16:11. Here's Deuteronomy 16:11. We're going to turn on the details again. Okay, so here we can see that this is the 49th occurrence of the phrase his name. Okay, but if you look at what's included here, I'm going to scroll back up to the beginning. Notice Genesis chapter 4. Notice that this is includes and Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son and called his name Seth. So the his name search includes people and names that have nothing to do with the name of God. So here we've got Seth, we've got Enos, we've got Seth again, we've got Noah, we've got Ishmael, Isaac. We have all of these occurrences here. So Deuteronomy 16:11 has nothing to do with, there's occurrences in the 49th occurrence of his name in Deuteronomy 16:11 that have nothing to do with the name of the Lord. Okay? So I don't understand what any of this proves, okay? And this data only occurs or only applies to the 1611 to the text of the 1769 King James Bible, and the data doesn't apply or work in the 1611 because there's different wording, all right? So I'm going to go back to the internet, and I'm going to go to, if I can navigate this quick enough, we're going to go to the King James Bible website. I'm going to go to Deuteronomy. We're going to go to chapter 16. And we're going to look at Deuteronomy 16:11. Notice, okay, in the verse, manservant in the 16:11 is two words, not one. And so is maidservant. Let's see. Manservant and maidservant is two words. So when you've got the seventh word in the verse being Lord, and then you have the 49th word in the verse being Lord, that only works in a 1769. It might work in others, but it doesn't work in all the editions of the King James Bible because manservant and maidservant in the 1611 were originally two words, not one. And so the math here that's supposed to prove something doesn't work in all of the editions of the King James Bible. And so I don't know what any of this ultimately proves then, okay? So we've basically gone through and we fact-checked, and what have we essentially seen, okay? Number one, we've seen that in Deuteronomy 16:11, it is not the 16:11th occurrence of the name of the Lord, Jehovah Adonai, because it includes in the search data information that is just related to human lords like we saw with Sarah and Abraham. That's point number one. Point number two, when you run the phrase his name, yeah, it's the 49th occurrence, but of the 49 occurrences of his name, there's a bunch of results that have nothing to do with the name of the Lord. And thirdly, when you look at the edition of 1611 and you try to count the words to see if the seventh word is the word Lord and the 49th word is the word Lord, the math doesn't work. So the math doesn't work in every edition of the King James Bible. So I don't know what any of that is supposed to ultimately mean or prove, okay? Now, when I reached out to Brandon, he told me to check the King James Bible Code website. And so I have done that. That is this website right here. And I want to scroll down to the one that's pertinent to this video. So notice this is where these have supposedly been fact-checked and with 100% accuracy, based on 10 different ratings, okay? And notice here that this is said to be 100% verified, and notice what it says here about raw mentions, okay? Now, notice what it says. Words are counted at face value even if they refer to various persons, places, things. Thus, anti-mentions are kept in the count. So he's admitting that there's stuff that's counted that's not relevant to what he's trying to prove about the name of the Lord and how many times it occurs and the fact that it occurs for the 1611th time in Deuteronomy 16:11. Okay. I also I don't know what all this proves. So order of mention, it's 100% verified, but it's including things. It's including anti-mentions. Okay. I want to go back up to another one at the top, and that's this one right here. the first and last words of the first and last verse 77,707 times. Okay? 77 times. So, notice this one here is case sensitive, which means particular words and phrases are only counted if each letter matches according to the way it's interpreted, capitalized versus lowercase versus uppercase. And raw mentions here, again, including anti-mentions, are kept in the count. So here's the point that I want to make about this. What verse from a King James Bible is telling people how to run these searches? What verse is doing this? So what verse is saying, here's when you do your case, for this one, what you have to do is you have to run it on a case-sensitive basis, and we're going to include anti-mentions, but on a bunch of the other ones, now we're not going to include anti-mentions, and we're not going to do case-sensitive. So here's my point. Why does the search criteria matter in one case, but not matter in another case to get the outcome that is desired? This is a big problem for me, because you're stacking the deck and you're running the searches, et cetera, based upon what seems to me to be data that doesn't make any sense to me. Why does it work? What verse is telling you to do this? So what verse in the King James Bible is telling us to do this kind of math to begin with? Okay? What verse is telling us to do this kind of math? What verse is telling us when we count raw mentions, when we count case-sensitive mentions, when we count anti-mentions, what verse in the Bible even talks about any of this stuff, much less tells somebody how to do this to come up with the numbers to make it work? So in this video, I've already demonstrated to you that the numbers in Deuteronomy 16:11 related to the 16:11th mention of the name Lord don't check out and include data that have nothing to do with the name of the Lord, as well as his name, including the names of people that are not exclusive to the names of the Lord. So what verse tells us how to do this, or which edition to do it in? That's my other issue. This doesn't work in every edition of the King James Bible. So if it doesn't work in a 1611, but it works in a 1769, but I have to do case sensitive this time, but not this time, and this time I'm doing raw mentions, I'm not doing anti-mentions. In this other case, I'm excluding the anti-mentions to get get the outcome that I want. This is a problem for me. And I think it should be a problem for other people who are trying to argue and defend the King James Bible, because this stuff is arbitrary, and it seems to me that it's confirmation bias. And this type of numerology defense of the King James Bible is becoming mainstream within King James onlyism. Okay, Robert Breaker, very famous King James onlyist, has recently been to the Gary Roverino's museum, and he's got videos here where he talks about that. I don't know how long it's going to take me to scroll back to find it, but Breaker has been to the museum. He's talking here in this video right here, particularly why King James only. He incorporates a lot of numerological proofs that he's getting from both Brandon and Gary Roverino. He visited the museum. He made a documentary about it, and he is now changing his positions and some of his KJV argumentation. Now, I'm not saying that Breaker is advocating for the Apocrypha. I actually don't know what he thinks about that. But he recently went and taught this seminar series on the King James Bible seminar, where he augments some of his teaching to incorporate things that Gary Roverino has said, as well as things that Brandon Peterson has said. So this numerology as part of defense of the King James Bible is becoming mainstreamed. I already talked to you about Roy Bell and Old School Bible Baptist and how he approves of Peterson, but he does not approve of Roverino. And there are others that are jumping on this bandwagon. 1611 handle on YouTube is as well. And you could see, if you just look at some of the videos here, they're all related to numerology. They're all related to finding patterns, et cetera, within a 1611. Now, see, this guy, he's a 1611ist. Peterson's not. I already showed you how the math doesn't work in every edition, okay? And so, like, this is confused. In my mind, this is a problem. and this is becoming mainstream part of KJV defense to argue things on the basis of this numerology. Now, Peterson himself, in a recent podcast, has said that it is the numerology that ultimately proved the case for him that the King James is perfect and advanced revelation. So let's just listen in on that briefly.
To me. How about you? Was it a gradual thing?
For me, it was. I think for me, I don't know if I ever would have gotten to the place to say that this is like advanced revelation and perfect to the letter if it wasn't for the numbers being as perfect as they are. But I think for me, the numbers, the role that it played in my faith, is I believed that the Bible was the Bible, was God's word. But then after seeing how perfect it really is, nothing can be changed. And if this is truly of God, which it has to be, then it is of God. And that he can teach anything he wants through this, and he has everything. It's just, he knows the end from the beginning.
So you heard it there. The numbers mean a lot to him as far as defending the King James Bible. I've been a King James Bible believer since the late 90s. And I base my opinion on the doctrine of preservation, the doctrine of inspiration and preservation, and then going out into history and finding what those doctrines say I should be able to find, and therefore believing it. Not based on math, not based on numbers, not based on numerology, okay? So I think there are some significant areas for concern here as we think through some of this material, okay? I want to go back to Brandon Peterson's book, and I want to look at just a couple other statements before I end this video. There's going to be at least one or two more videos as I talk about this, my concerns regarding this numerology, in a couple more videos in a couple different contexts here. But here's the thing. Like, you need 21st century Bible software to prove any of this. It doesn't work in every edition of the King James Bible. And so I don't know what any of this ultimately proves, along with the other questions that I already raised about how exactly does all of this work and where exactly is all of this coming from if it's not from the Bible itself. That is one of my main problems, okay? So elsewhere, on page 23 of Sealed by the King, I want you to look at this statement right here. What if we found signs and wonders, even miracles, in the King James Bible that point to God as its author, miracles that defy all natural circumstance, witnessing to the perfect source from which it came? So he's talking about miracles and signs and wonders. Now, that sounds a lot like Gary. Gary's talking about how he sent for miracles and signs and wonders and to confirm things. It's very similar to what he has to say. On the next page, notice this. What if the Holy Bible, and more specifically, the most influential version in history, is signed and sealed by the Holy Ghost? So there's these very hypothetical what-if questions, right? And so the numerology now is marshaled now to bring to the table to prove these things. Okay, and I think more troubling for me is the stuff about how there's deeper meanings in the Bible, okay, that need to be, this is from page 353, that need to be ferreted out here, okay? Let's see here. So he's talking here about a point about the 153 fishes. It leaves little to no doubt in the Christian's mind that God has specifically inserted numeric details into the Bible that have some sort of deeper meaning. So this is very dangerous to me because now we're getting in, now we're on that precipice of that Gnostic stuff, right? We got to find the deeper meaning. And so what I've observed with a lot of these guys that like to do the numerology, their ministries becomes their Bible reading and their ministries, their videos, whatever they're putting out for public consumption, becomes very much obsessed with finding the patterns and explaining the deeper meaning rather than just exegeting what the King James text says and what the main meaning of the King James text is, because now we have to find the deeper meaning. Notice, so there's a deeper meaning, some sort of deeper meaning, and yet the meaning is not revealed in the text. So if it's not revealed in the text, like, as I've already said, There's nothing in the text about doing this kind of math, how to do this kind of math, how to run the searches. There's nothing about King James Pure Bible Search software. So then it's up to the interpreter to decide what all of this stuff means. And anybody can come along, and they can interpret anything any way they want. Now, I know that Brandon would probably object to that, but he's using these math, this math, and he's sorting the math based upon what he thinks the criteria should be for sorting the math to arrive at the conclusions. And in the case of the 16:11 mention of the name of the Lord's name in Deuteronomy 16:11, it's not even including and exclusive to the names of the Lord, nor is the phrase his name exclusive to occurrences of the name of the Lord. So what does all of it mean? I don't get it. I don't understand it. I don't see how it proves anything as far as the King James Bible being significant. On page, now I believe it is, and I believe it's the Word of God. Don't mishear me or misrepresent what I just said. Okay? And then, let's see, page 391, the simple numerical fact could have been found decades ago. It is as easy as counting one by one, Ecclesiastes 7:27, one word at a time, throughout the entire King James Bible. And yet it patiently sat dormant, concealed until the age of computers. God chose to wait until his book was the most printed, read, and scrutinized book in the world before unveiling his perfect design within. So we need 21st century computers. How does he know this? How does he know that that is what God is doing? We need 21st century computers, and we need a specific tool. We need to know how to do this. I don't find much of this very compelling to me, and in fact, I think it's dangerous, and I think it leads to dangerous down dangerous roads. Okay, so Peterson is, in a sense, very similar to Roverino in this case, that there are concealed meanings. Look at the title of Concealed from Christians, that this stuff is concealed, the text does not tell you what it means, and so now we have to interpret it, and we can't interpret it until the 21st century when we have a specific Bible search software tool, and I just don't understand why this is not being more critically analyzed and evaluated by King James Bible defenders. I don't understand, okay? And why does Brandon get a pass but Gary doesn't? The reason Brandon gets a pass and Gary doesn't is because of Brandon not advocating for the Apocrypha, which I think is the right move, okay? Now, I want to end this video with here. There will be another video where I talk about confirmation bias, and we look at what other religions have to say about numerical patterns in their so-called holy texts. And look at, is there really anything to this, or can you find patterns and sequences in any book the length of the Bible? We'll be looking at that in the next video, but before I go, I want to read something from my friend and colleague Dave Reed. He says, regarding this numerology, he says there's a big difference between numerological symbolism and significance and hidden numerology. So when you read the Bible, obviously 7 is a number of significance because God has chosen to use the number 7 to teach something. Okay? That's in the Bible. That's apparent when you see him constantly teaching in sevens, the number 12. Okay? But there's a difference between that and hidden numerology. You just heard that statement. In fact, let's go back and look at it again on 359. The idea that there are things that are hidden and concealed that are not a part of the text, okay? The Bible has some sort of deeper meaning, and yet the meaning is not revealed in the text. So if it's not revealed in the text and it's hidden numerology, then how do we know what it means? How do we know Brandon's telling us the right answers? How do we know anything that we can't confirm using a King James Bible? And this is my thing. It's interesting to me how King James Bible advocates who say, this is my final authority, the King James Bible in all matters of faith and practice, don't have a verse for any of this stuff to tell them what to do or how to do it or how to count any of this stuff, but they're perfectly fine with accepting all of it because it confirms what they already want to believe, which is a phenomenon that's known as confirmation bias. Back to Brother Reed's email. No doubt certain numbers in Scripture carry certain significance. Example, the number 12 is associated with Israel. numerical symbolism and significance undoubtedly exists. I don't deny that. Okay, and it's intentional, and notably, it would show up in any faithful translation of the scripture. Any proper translation of the preserved text is going to communicate to the reader in Spanish, in French, in Dutch, whatever, in Italian, that 7 is a significant number, 12 is a significant number, because these things are in the Bible itself. They're in the biblical text themselves, okay? It's Dave goes on and he says, hidden numerology based on number of characters and words is not self-evident. Amen. Disappears when we consider verbally equivalent phrasing. That's something I haven't even mentioned yet. All of this stuff implies verbatim identicality as the standard. And it doesn't even work in all of the editions of the King James because there's not verbatim identicality across all editions of the King James, like we saw in the counting of how do you count maidservant and manservant as one word or two, because the 1611 had them spelled as two different words, not one, as they are in now the standard 1769 text. So again, hidden numerology based on number of characters and words is not self-evident, disappears when verbally equivalent phrasings are considered, and would not exist with regards to translations into other languages. So what are we doing here? This is my fundamental problem. And how do we know when the numerology has gone too far? Based on what metric do we know that the numerology has gone too far? So again, Roy Bell is okay with Brandon's material, reads his book, says it proves all Bible atheists wrong, but is not okay with Gary Roverino's. Where do we draw the line? How do we know what is legitimate numerology and what is illegitimate numerology when none of it is revealed in the text and we're relying on somebody to tell us what the deeper meaning is apart from clear biblical references and verses that tell us how to do any of this stuff? So these are some of the reasons why I'm concerned about this and why I have a problem with this type of numerology. So in the next video, we're going to look at a little bit more information about why I think there are significant problems with this type of thing. I appreciate anybody who defends the King James Bible against over and against modern versions in the critical text, but some of this stuff is going too far. In fact, for me, all the numerological arguments are going too far, unless they're clearly anchored to clear verses in the Bible or clear passages that are didactic where you can say, okay, yes, God is definitely saying God is definitely using the number 7 to teach something. Okay? I'll probably have more to say on the number 7 in the next video because it's going to come up again. Muslim scholars do the same thing with the Quran, with the number 7, and they look for patterns the same as any of the stuff that we've seen here. With this video. So admittedly, I have dealt with only one case covered in the book and only one video, but I did it as a case study to demonstrate in my mind that the math and the numerology that is used to justify and make this uber spiritual point, to me, done check out, done work, is sorted based upon an unspecified biblical criteria, which means we're relying on the person that is doing the sorting to be able to tell us that the sorting is valid and legitimate. I think we should have serious questions about some of this. Before you go, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ for your eternal salvation, God loves you and Christ died for your sin. Jesus Christ went to the cross. He shed his blood to satisfy the offended justice of God against sin. He was buried, and 3 days he rose again the victor over sin and death. God loves you and Christ died for your sin. He wants to give you eternal life as a free gift. Stop relying on your works, your effort, your performance, your church going, and just rely and trust exclusively on what the Lord Jesus Christ did for you on the cross, his death, his burial, his resurrection. Trust Jesus Christ today before it's everlasting too late. Thanks for your attention, and we'll see you next time.